Welcome to the River of Life Church podcast, your home for weekly messages that will equip you in your spiritual growth. Thank you from everyone here at ROLC and enjoy the sermon.
Well, good morning and happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. To all of you here and all of you who are worshiping with us online, we're thrilled that you took time out to really do what God would want us to do. Celebrate Him. The worship, wasn't it spectacular? See, what God the Father wanted to do, and when Jesus touched earth in that Bethlehem stable, He brought heaven to earth in His Son. And then, after those 33 and one-half years, with the 3 1/2 years of the end part of His lifetime, at least incarnation, it was all about teaching people how to bring heaven to earth. God's desire, God's will. And the resurrection, that made it all possible. We don't have to live life alone. We don't have to live hopeless, because our hope is in a resurrected God, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's astounding as we live life. How many of you are living life? Obviously, you're alive, so you're living life, whether you want to or not. But it's amazing how a lot can happen in just one day. Good or bad, a lot can transpire in one day. Think about it. At creation, 6 days of creation, but each day, one day, something transpired. On the first day, what did God create? Light. He spoke and there was light. All in one day. Just as good things transpire, negative things can happen. I remember I was on the phone with a colleague friend of mine. He was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We were discussing some ministry plans. Then all of a sudden, I heard on the television set in the background, desperation. Something had transpired. It was the Twin Towers being taken down one by one by those airliners that hit. All of that, my wife and I, when we got engaged in 1979, we celebrated with her mom and dad and her sisters our engagement at the Twin Towers, the 107th floor, windows of the world. And now all of that completely gone in one day. I'm born and raised in Baltimore. And I was just deeply grieved to see what transpired with the Francis Scott Key Bridge. One day came down. That liner took and crashed into one of the pylons and everything crumbled. A lot can happen in one day. Joseph, remember, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. Then wound up in Egypt for 13 years. He was a slave. But then in one day, he went from the prison to the palace. Amen. Jesus, he entered Jerusalem. Everyone was praising him with that triumphal entry. We celebrated Palm Sunday last week. And it's astounding how all of a sudden, from the streets with the praise, now he enters Jerusalem, the praise stops, and in one day, it went from Hosanna to crucify him. And it was this same hatred that began to brew in one day, which brought Jesus before Pontius Pilate, who was the governor, the prefect of Judea. And with that little history in mind, let's look at the text I'd like to speak from today, John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 14. You can follow along in your Bibles and also take advantage of the screens behind them. Now, it was the preparation day of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king," speaking of Pilate. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." In our text, Jesus had been arrested, tried, and convicted, all in one day. Following that brutal beating, not only the crown of thorns on his head, but the 40 less one, 39 stripes placed upon his back. And then, when all was said and done, Pilate again brings Jesus out to the people. There he is, beaten, brutalized, broken, shamed with only a loin garment to cover. Pilate, desperate because he had heard different sayings about Jesus, which caused Pilate to have fear about crucifying this man. He was desperately looking for a way of escape to release Jesus, thinking that the beating would have appeased the crowds, the multitude. He says, the title of today's message, "Behold your King." This statement, the moment it was released by his mouth, it's astounding the power that words carry. Families have been broken because of words. Wars have erupted because of words. It says in Scripture, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So our words can either encourage people to greatness or cause them to give up hope and surrender and be defeated. This statement from Pilate, it actually birthed a spiritual rippling effect. And it would play out over the next 3 days, and that's what I want to look at with all of you. What transpired when all of this was set in motion? Well, this rippling effect began on Friday. This past Friday, we had our Good Friday service. It was overwhelming. If some of you were unable to make it, go to our live stream broadcast. You can see it on YouTube, or you can see it on Facebook. You can see it on our website. But the presence of God, it was extra special. Just recounting what he went through and how for his life circumstances changed in a moment. When you look at change, I was watching the news the other day. Then I heard one of the broadcaster say, well, there's a man in Neptune, New Jersey who went to bed poor and woke up a billionaire. I said to myself, what? Went over to take a glimpse. It was the Mega Millions jackpot. One number from one man had hit the jackpot and won $1.13 billion. So it started to say million. It's a B. $1 billion. In a moment, financially, now this may play out to be a blessing or a curse for this man, because that's a lot of responsibility. It's $1.13 billion worth of responsibility. But with all of that, going to bed one night, waking up the next day, everything changed for him. In one day. Look at Jesus. The same was true for him. Now, the difference is he knew what was coming. He knew what he came to fulfill. He was born without sin, lived without sin. For 3.5 years, confirmed indeed God's hand upon his life as Messiah. Then he was crucified. He died without sin, which set in place the miracle of his resurrection. But for everyone else, even though he was intent, he constantly reminded he came to die, he would be crucified, on the third day he would rise. But sometimes we have selective processing, don't we? We hear what we want to hear. And as many times as Jesus continually began to enlighten them, they never heard that. Why? Because they were looking for kingdom now. And Jesus had a perspective, a vision that was eternal. Kingdom forever. Amen. So they didn't hear. And so here Jesus then, after all of this transpired, and finally the crowds around him and the people were shouting, crucify him. He's handed over then to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Everything went downhill. His betrayal, his abandonment by his disciples, his arrest, then tried, convicted, sentenced to death, and then the unmerciful beating that he experienced. Here he is now handed over to these brutal soldiers to be led to that place called the skull, Golgotha. Cindy and I were in Israel last year. We were there hosting about 300 people. We were one of six pastors who were there as teaching pastors for this trip. And we went to the place of the skull. We saw the stone. And so Jesus was led to that same place, all alone, exhausted, with everything within him he tried to carry as best he could. Then someone was enlisted to help him carry the cross. Then finally, after being nailed to the cross, then the cross was set and erected, placed on that mountaintop with two thieves, one on the left, one on the right. He began to experience a slow and torturous death of crucifixion. Not only the pain of the nails going through his hands and his feet, not only the pain of the crown of thorns that caused the blood to run down his brow. Well, then finally, in order to speed his death, his side was pierced with that Roman spear, and blood and water rushed out. There he was on that Friday. But yet, it was only one day that all of this transpired. Then you take and look at Jesus just before he spoke his final words, feeling the weight of sin. Can you imagine that? How many of you have ever wrestled with regrets? How many of you, I include myself, how many of us have wrestled with guilt, wishing I had or we had done things differently? All of us carry that. You can't live life and not have regrets. Only the proud will say they have no regrets. But when alone and isolated, no one else to hear what they're experiencing, the words they may share, when no one else they feel is listening, there are regrets. I've been a pastor for over four decades, 45 years to be exact. And I've been to many deathbed experiences with people who are on the final moments of their life. And the majority, even those that love the Lord, they say, "Pastor, I've given my best, but I wish I had done more." What is that? Regrets. Here Jesus, feeling the full weight of sin, not just one person. Sometimes the regrets I may be reminded of, they overwhelm me. I can't imagine carrying the regrets, the sin of the entire human race. And remember, Jesus died not only in that moment, but that moment of his death, he took on the sin of Adam, Eve. Then fast forward all the way to that present time, but that death in that moment, his death, then even translated to the end of time, the sins of the world. That means Jesus died for the sins that were yet to be committed, and that includes all of us and those yet to be born until he returns. Can you imagine the weight of that? Unbearable. And that's when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When Jesus became sin, God the Father, who was holy, could no longer look on his Son. And for the first time ever, because remember, Jesus' earthly existence began when he was born in flesh and blood, but he pre-incarnate, he was at the right hand of the Father. He was eternal. And now when he took on human flesh, that which was perfect allowed himself to become imperfect so he could perfect those that would believe on his name because of his death, sealed by the resurrection. The Father could no longer look upon him, and then Jesus, as I brought out Friday evening, was utterly forsaken, alone. And it all happened in one day. One day. I don't know about you, but I never want to have a day like that. But because he loves us, he was willing to endure that Friday. Friday was unbearable for him. And now all of that pain would carry over to the next day, Saturday. A lot of times you don't hear a whole lot about the day in between his crucifixion and his resurrection. Saturday is like the hashtag. But it's more than just a hashtag. Significance transpired while Jesus, buried in a tomb, but his spirit and soul went down into the belly of the earth to that place called paradise. That holding place of the saints of old, who until Jesus, Messiah, would come and be the perfect Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said, who would take away the sins of the world, until the atonement through the body of Christ, his sacrifice, and that blood would be shown before God the Father. Before that happened, the saints of old did not go to heaven. They went to that holding place that was referenced by Jesus himself as he hung on the cross. Remember, one thief blasphemed him, and the other said, "Remember me." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Today you will be with me, not in heaven, but in paradise." Amen. The same place I preached on this about a month or so ago, when Lazarus died, the beggar man and the rich man, they just happened to die on the same day. And then when the narrative changed as Jesus brought this illustration to those listening to his voice, there the poor man Lazarus says he was resting in the bosom of Abraham. And across this great gulf, the rich man was in hell. That was paradise. That was not fictitious. It was truth. That holding place where the saints of old from Adam, Elisha the prophet, Deborah the judge, the prophet Samuel, King David, we could go on and on. That was the holding place for those who were by faith waiting for the Messiah to come. So when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When he then became the essence of sin on the altar of that cross, it was at that moment he said, "It is finished. The price has been paid." And the moment he gave up his life, willingly, he went into the belly of the earth to preach to those who were waiting by faith. Everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
For the Messiah. Can you imagine? There were no updates in hell. There were no updates in paradise. Neither side. The only way they would hear what was current, if it was a saint of God, one waiting for Messiah, they would come and update everyone what happened up until that point in time of their lives. But when Jesus entered the belly of the earth, when he went into paradise, the update he brought was teaching them the fulfillment. Messiah has come, and I am. That's Saturday. Just one day. And he had a multitude of saints who had been there. Have you ever felt like you've been, it's a good place, but it's not the place you want to be? They were in a good place, better than what was over the other side of the gulf. Remember, the rich man cried out, if Abraham could just dip his finger in a bit of water and touch his tongue, then that would satisfy me. But he said, the golf is too great. I remember playing sports, and when we were thirsty, and when we had a break or in between the game at different spots, water, not Gatorade. Gatorade's nice. It replaces the electrolytes, right? We need that sodium so we can continue to sweat out. But the water, nothing like Mother Nature's elixir, water. This man, so desperate. So paradise was a good place, but not the best place. And God never intended for paradise to be eternal. Saturday, that's what was happening under the earth. But for the family, the disciples of Jesus, they were experiencing what everyone feels following the death of a loved one. They were grieving. Their hearts were broken. They didn't understand. They forgot every word about the resurrection, a spiritual kingdom, atonement for sin. They forgot all of that, and the only thing they could see was whom they had loved was no longer there. Who will lead us now? Who will guide us? We're like sheep without a shepherd, an army without a captain. They were grieving, what? The loss of a son, the loss of a brother, a friend. They were grieving, from their perspective, the loss of their Savior. That's why when Jesus died, the faith of his followers died at that moment too. They were in shock. Maybe this is just a bad dream. You ever have a dream and you wake up? There have been times I've been so deep in REM, so deep in sleep, that when I wake up, it's like I look around, where am I? That's when you know you had a good night's rest. So they were thinking I could just slap the side of my face and I would wake up and it's just all been a bad dream. But when Saturday hit and when they woke up again, they knew it wasn't a bad dream. This was their reality. And that began to set in. This is why the day after a death, this is what psychologists bring out, that the day after, and even many days beyond, but especially the day after a death, the day after is always more difficult than the day of. Why? I remember when we lost our daughter in 2007. The next day I woke up, it's like for just a moment I had no grief. It's like my mind hadn't processed it yet. Then all of a sudden, life wasted no time, the devil wasted no time. The reality came back. She's gone. Some of you can identify with this same analogy. And that's where the disciples were. This is real. It happened. And when they came to that place, this is the moment that the door was opened to what? Fear. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 19, we see this recorded. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. For what? Fear. Of the Jews. Now it's the first day of the week now. He had already been resurrected, but they don't know. And they're behind closed doors, lock and key. They're there thinking, we're next. We're next. Can you imagine when Cindy and I flew out of Israel last October? We flew out the day of the missile launch. We flew out not only the day of the missile launch, but 2 to 3 minutes prior to all of that transpiring. We were in the air. Our pilots could see the attack into Gaza. All of the disruption, all that transpired, the evil. Everyone still living there who were not on a jet out of that danger zone. They were fearful hearing about the massacre then. What about us? We're next. And that's exactly how the disciples were feeling. Fear took charge of their lives. You see, they forgot, and that's when fear comes in. Because, you know, fear is actually faith, but it's faith in the wrong thing or the wrong words or the wrong person. Fear is faith, but it's faith in the negative. Whereas faith is faith in Almighty God and what He has promised. Amen. Will come to pass. Yes. What did Jesus say? It's astounding how the religious leaders remembered when He spoke in John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 19, destroy this temple. He was talking to the religious leaders. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Amen. They remembered. Why do you think guards were stationed at His grave, His tomb? Now, maybe they didn't really believe He would come back from the dead, but still, to stop any kind of a conspiracy, they stationed guards so that from their perspective, the people will accept the inevitable. He is dead. But the disciples, broken, weeping, I get that. I get that. I'm human. But yet the words that have been spoken, destroy this temple, were completely removed from the forefront of their mind. You know, when Jesus spoke that to the religious leaders, He was actually prophesying. Just as when God said, let there be light, and there was light. When Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, He was prophesying His resurrection. And when Jesus speaks, you can take that to the bank. Amen. His words come to pass. That's why I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. The Word of God is my foundation. Every message you'll ever hear, every teaching I'll ever bring to the people, everywhere I've been, my third church now, is always based on the infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Word of God can be trusted. People can be trusted to a point, but eventually, because we're human, things could change. But Jesus never changes, which means what? Neither does His Word. Here it was Friday, He died. On Saturday, He laid dead. But the unexpected happened on Sunday. Amen. The unexpected. I love Sunday. Even as a little boy, my mother would drag me to church. My father, he was seldom there till God got hold of his life. But my mother made sure I was there whether I liked it or not. And that which I protested, now I've come to honor her name. Still here. This September, she'll be 96 years old. A godly woman who's made an impact in many people's lives, but especially her son's. Sunday was the unexpected. And you know what that tells us? It tells us that's just like God. That's part of His character. God will show up when you least expect it. How many of you have had a moment where you've been threatened, a situation begins to raise itself against you? Maybe you feel something physically, and you cry out, Lord, help! And in that moment, it changes back for the good. God will show up even when you don't call out for Him. I've had Him surprise me so many times. The Lord is so good. Look at Moses. He showed up for him and the Israelites at the Red Sea, didn't he? I saw the Red Sea part last night. I was watching Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments. And I watched the Red Sea part. God showed up when they least expected. And then what about Joshua when he led Israel into the land of promise? God showed up at the walls of Jericho, didn't he? And then there's Elijah the prophet when he challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. All of the followers of that false deity false god. They tried and tried to summon fire from the heavens. Couldn't do it. But then Elijah, after he had rebuilt the altar that was in ruins. And that's a very important message. I can't elaborate on that now. But listen, if you want to get back to where you need to be with the Lord, then rebuild your altar. Rebuild that place where you can encounter him. That place where you pray to him. Where you read his word and receive from him. Rebuild the altar. And that's exactly what Elijah did. He rebuilt the altar of God, which scripture says was in ruins. And that is encouraging also because it says, no matter who it is, even in our lives personally, if you feel like your altar has been destroyed, it's in ruins. And from man's perspective, it could never be restored. All things are possible with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And if he rebuilt the altar, so can we. Then when he cried out, fire fell from heaven. God showed up at Mount Carmel. What about Daniel? Ever spend a night in the lion's den? He did. He had no idea if he would come out of that unscathed. But he trusted. It's nice when we feel like God has really given us a word and an assurance. But there are times when it's ambiguity. There are times when it's those gray areas and maybe, maybe not. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down to the golden image. And they were threatened and even faced and had to go into the fire. And they said, our God is able to rescue us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. That's trust. That's relationship. And that's where Daniel was. If I get eaten by a lion, I can think of better things to do on a Friday night. But I'll trust God. Amen. If I'm saved, I'm saved. If I'm not, that's okay. I trust my God. But then God did the unexpected from his haters' perspective. And he was delivered. And guess who else he showed up for? God the Father showed up for Jesus on that third day. Amen?
Amen?
He showed up and he was faithful. He was faithful. While the disciples were grieving, Jesus in the belly of the earth in paradise, he was having services. He was teaching. He was prophesying. He was speaking to them. He was preparing them because when Jesus was resurrected, his body was in that tomb, but his soul and his spirit, Scripture is very clear. We are body, soul, and spirit. And even though his body lay lifeless in that tomb, his spirit and soul went down into paradise, and he began to preach to all of the other saints whose spirits and souls went down into that place. And that's why Jesus said to them, listen, we're leaving real soon. I spent one Friday in a very difficult place, but I came through. We're here on Saturday. This is not the worst, but it's far from the best. But I can assure you, tomorrow, the next day, Sunday, the first day of the week, we're leaving this place. And by the way, my heavenly angels are going to board it up, close it up, because it will no longer be necessary. See, this is what happened. It's what Jesus did. It's astounding. It's what the Word of God, that's why I love the Word of God. It makes so much sense. So there he is holding services. Look at Paul's words as he elaborated on what Jesus was doing in captivity, paradise. The Bible says when the resurrection took place, it says when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Who was that? Those who had been waiting in paradise. The saints of old. He led them captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Where was Jesus prior to the resurrection? Again, paradise. Now, can you imagine the buzz that began to go through the kingdom of darkness right across that gulf? I'm sure they're on the other side, Satan and his demon hosts, they have their ears like this, trying to hear across the gulf. What's he talking about? He's leaving this place. What's he talking about? He's the temple. It's going to be raised up. Do you hear this? And then there was probably an alarm. Fortify the kingdom of darkness. Fortify all that's transpiring. Hell was put on alert. On Friday, what happened? Satan and his demons were on notice. On Saturday, Satan issued an order to fortify the gates of hell. But on Sunday, everything changed when the Father, God the Father himself, spoke. Just as Jesus spoke before the tomb of Lazarus, which was a typology, true event, but a typology of what God the Father would do over the tomb, the grave of Jesus. God the Father spoke. Death could not hold our Savior in the grave. They tried. They strengthened their grip. But they failed. Why? Because he is risen. Amen. Did you hear me? He is risen. Those of you watching this broadcast, he is risen. He's not dead. Why would I ever serve a dead God? Why would I ever search something that's man-made? I'd rather have God-made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the words of the Apostle Paul found in Romans chapter 6, verse 9, when he says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Death is a scary thing, isn't it? But when you have the one who destroyed, crushed, what did Jesus do? He crushed the serpent's head. When our faith and our confidence is in the one who is even Lord over death. That's why Paul says, death, where's your sting? There's no sting. Why? Because Jesus defeated the grave. Jesus dealt with Friday on the cross. He dealt with Saturday in the grave. And he finalized Sunday when he rose from the dead. Thank God for Sunday. Amen. All of heaven, hear my words. Thank God for Sunday. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank you that Jesus is alive. We celebrate here on earth with all of you in the heavenly. They hear us now. The great cloud of witnesses. They celebrate with us. Do you think this isn't significant in the presence of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light? This day is celebrated daily, but when they come to our moment on earth in the timeline, because there is no time in heaven, but when earth reaches that timeline, they gather, they celebrate, and they worship with us. Prior to his death, you have Pontius Pilate. He presented Jesus before the people and he said, behold your king. But on the day of his resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus, God the Father, after he had called his son back into the land of the living, never to die again, he presented his son and used the same phrase that Pilate used. For thus on earth, and for those in heaven, and even for those under the earth. Remember, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. God the Father said, behold your King. Amen. That's why we're here today.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're not here to fulfill a duty. We're here to add our amen to God's proclamation. Behold, your King. A crucifix reminds us of the death of Jesus. But I love the empty cross because he's no longer there. death was not the final chapter. The resurrection is. And then our lives are the gospel yet to be fulfilled through us. On Friday, it was draped with a veil of black. Today, it's draped in a veil of whiteness, righteousness, without spot. That's what Jesus made possible. So I want to ask this question before we conclude this service. When Pilate and then God the Father said, "Behold your king," let's self-assess. Is he our king? Is he your king? Is he my king? Those of you watching, is he your king? If your response to that question is hesitant, if you're unsure, then it's time to become sure. It's time to become absolute and to know, yes, he is my king. And I want to pray a prayer of confession that I want all of you and those of you watching online, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. It's a prayer of commitment, prayer of salvation, prayer of dedication. And so let's make sure today that he's our king. So I want everyone to stand. If you're physically able, please stand. And then even those of you who are completely sure, pray this prayer with me for those that need to become sure. Not only here, but those who are watching so they can hear you over the airwaves. Pray this prayer with me, everyone, nice and loud. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I need help. I want freedom. So right now, I ask you to forgive me. And I profess with my mouth that right now, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I invite him into my life. From this day forward, everything changes. Thank you, Lord. You've heard my prayer. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm born again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give an applause to heaven for those that prayed that prayer for the first time? Thank God. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to the River of Life Church podcast. Subscribe and rate us right now on iTunes to be first to get access to new audio messages every week. Visit rolcdoylestown.org or like us on Facebook to always stay up to date on what's going on at ROLC. If you would like to support this ministry, visit the online giving page at our website. Join us next time for more from River of Life Church.